Good morning, Lord. Lord, we just come to you this morning and we thank you so much and we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, just for how much you love us and for what you do for us, Lord, and for your grace, for the fact that you called us to be a part of your kingdom, that you adopted us, Lord, and brought us in, and that you offer us so many things. And we are so grateful for that. And Lord, we just thank you this morning for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for this church. And we thank you, Lord, for just the people that you put in our lives. And we lift this up to you this morning. We lift up this time and we pray, Lord, that you would just be with us, that your Holy Spirit would be here, that your Holy Spirit would fill this whole place, Lord. And that you would be with the worship team today, and that you would be with Steve today, and just everyone, Lord, who's involved, and that you would just open this place up and open up our hearts and our minds. Help us to build a closer and a more loving relationship with you. We just thank you and we praise you and we offer this up in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought somebody sneaked in.
I heard so too. I heard the door.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Are you joining us?
I'm joining you.
Awesome. Awesome. We usually have a little bit bigger crowd than this. I don't know where everybody is.
It's a rough week. We're going to use a rough all around.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I thought at least Richard would come in. He was out there. Okay, well, what we're doing is we kind of go through this. I don't know. I spilled coffee all over this one. Basically, we have a thing here that we've been doing, and it's like 50 things about the Holy Spirit. And so we've just been kind of going down through the list and doing different things. And
you don't feel it has a little heart. Well, actually, there's stars, not hearts.
Heart. And today we're going to talk about. It's number 28 on our list. It says, the Spirit Christ in our hearts, Abba, Father. And it's in Galatians. We're going to start in Galatians. And we'll wait for Tina to come back. This poor old Bible put back together temporarily, and somebody stopped in front of me and was on my seat.
Oh no.
And I had to hit up the brakes hard, and it flew up and ripped again. I just can't make myself get rid of it. How's your family doing?
They're good.
They're good?
They were following me today, so I've been kind of getting on now, I think. If not.
Huh?
They were slow moving today, yeah. Wanting to stay home and so I thought, I'm just going to get going and squeeze this in. If it's not looking good for you guys, you're going to stay.
Yeah. I was going to say, we could just start, but we'll wait patiently.
Yeah, I listened to some of your classes, the way you posted it.
Oh, when they, yeah, they do the recording and then do it on the website.
Yeah. It's been a while since I listened to something.
Usually we have pretty good discussion.
I'm the quiet one. He's probably relieved somebody else came in.
I would have just heard myself talking is all.
There you go.
Thanks. Yeah, I was going to say, you probably really don't even need the paper for the...
Kiana, tell me I'm here for a minute, so you can start. I'll be back.
Okay. Yeah, some of these are really good. Some of them, like, there's a lot of stuff to look up and discuss, and then other ones are just kind of quick and short. And
one we're doing today, kind of quick and short, huh?
Yeah, we're kind of getting a late start, so it's okay.
Dr. Newhart's Christmas musical.
That's what they're doing this year. Dr. Newhart. Did they do that one before, a long time ago?
I think they did a Dr. Newhart one, but this might be different.
Might be a new one.
Yeah.
What's the thing today? It's a dog walk?
Huh?
There's a dog walk today? Yeah.
Yeah. Sunday at 12 to 3.
Yeah. Bring your dog, bring a friend, lunch, walk, and more.
Here at the church?
I don't know. It's a great day for a dog walk.
Not in the rain. Mm-mm. And don't forget to grab a box. I have one at home underneath our... One stand there in the bedroom. We could get one more if you want to do a boy and a girl.
Yeah, sure. We can do that.
Who was it that was talking to us about those boxes? He said that. Oh, it was Carla.
Oh, I don't know. I remember that. She all right?
Yeah. Ada bought her some tickets for things out there, and she, Kiana's extremely awkward, and I had to help her pick something.
She just needed
pick what you like and drop it in the cup.
She just needed your motherly advice.
She just wanted reassurance.
She's very awkward and probably felt put on the spot, didn't know what she was doing. So.
Okay, so we're in Galatians. The scripture says Galatians 4:6. I'm going to start at 3:26. And it says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery, under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons of God, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you no longer are a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." So we've talked a little bit about sons of God before, but it says through faith in Jesus, we are baptized into Christ and have clothed ourselves with Christ. And I like that. I love that analogy of clothing ourselves, you know, like when we, like our clothes covers our nakedness. When we clothe ourselves with Christ, it covers over our sin, over ourselves, over us. But how do we do that? How do you clothe yourself with Christ?
Well, I was trying to live a life for Christ and being Christ-like the best we can. Kindness, showing kindness to people. I forget what all I said yesterday.
I kind of put on Christ every day.
Yeah.
You know, I ask Him to cover me. I ask Him to guide me. I ask Him to protect me. I ask Him to forgive me. I ask Him to work through me. And just, you know, just so that those around me will see Him instead of me. You know, I want them to see Christ when they see me. I don't want them to just see Ron. I know who Ron is. I'm selfish and greedy and judgmental and impatient and controlling, but not always self-controlled. And, you know, that's just the short list. I don't want to be any of those things. So I offer myself to God and I clothe myself with Christ because that's who I want to be like and that's what I want other people to see. Okay, you guys are going to be really quiet today. All right. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if a Jew or a Gentile, man or a woman, slave or free. It doesn't matter if I'm brown, white, black, old, young, rich, or poor. When I clothe myself with Christ, I am redeemed. I am a Christian.
Right.
I become a Christian when I clothe myself with Christ. And I receive the full rights of a son of God. And it says, and God sends His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into my heart. Look what Ephesians, look how Paul says it in Ephesians. Ephesians, what is it? 1. Ephesians 1. It's just like a page away. Yeah, start at verse 3. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's amazing right there.
Yeah.
We read that and we like skip over that a lot of times and it's like, you know, there's so much right there just in that one verse. It says, praise be to God the Father, right? We can stop at verse 3 and just be done. It says, praise be to God the and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual gift. This is God the Father. This is the Creator of all things, heaven, earth, everything and anything that we can, that our minds are even capable of knowing, right? And He has blessed us in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realms, that's where all spiritual decisions are made. All spiritual battles are decided. It's not subjected to our rules and regulations. It's not subjected to our timeline. In the heavenly realm, I mean, it's eternal.
Right.
Right? And God the Father has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. I don't even know what every spiritual blessing is. You know,
right.
Spiritual blessings, it's like, I'm sure that it includes the gospel. I'm sure that it includes the influence of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of our sins, adoption into the family of God, and eternal life. But there's got to be so much more. Verse 4 says, "For he chose us, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. You ever think about that?
Not as often as I should.
Before the creation of the world, he chose us. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And I don't know that I want to get into the whole predestination discussion today, but...
what's even more incredible is that he knew each of us by name.
Well, he knows...
Which is his name, you know, that he has given us, that he will give us a new name once we get there, and that's a whole other lesson, too.
The whole predestination thing, you know, some people believe that he chose to bless some individuals and not the rest, just condemn the rest. Some believe that he predestined Jesus, and if we choose to be in Jesus, then we are included in that predestination. And some people believe that he looked to the future, knew who would and who would not answer the call to Christ, and that he blessed us. But that's a big, big discussion with a lot of different things to discuss. So today I just want to kind of focus on the fact that we are in Christ, and that he chose us, however he chose us. And it says, verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Okay, there's a lot of stuff right there too. We're chosen according to his plan, his purpose, his will, for his praise and for his glory. But there's redemption, there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's the mystery of his will. What do you think it's talking about when it says the mystery of his will? Any idea? You know there's no wrong answers, right?
The mystery of his will?
Yeah, when it talks about the mystery of his will. Because it says, he made known to us the mystery of his will.
Through the Holy Spirit, he made known to us, through the Holy Spirit, the our great bride. What he wants us to do and to be with us, he does that through the Holy Spirit. And the mystery is I'm still trying to figure some of that out. What is the mystery to you?
I think that when it talks about the mystery of his will, I think it's talking about Jesus Christ. And you got to understand that when, you know, this was written, it's written in a time that the Jews thought they had everything figured out, right?
Right.
And they were waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah. And when Jesus came, they didn't understand. They didn't see him as their Messiah. They didn't really. They didn't believe he was who he said he was. And we have been given the ability to see clearly that mystery that God brought Jews and Gentiles and all things together under Christ.
Yes.
And that we, you know, he's going to bring us all together again in that heavenly realm we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And spells all of that out for us and gives us the understanding that all of that is through Christ. That's what I think it's talking about when it says the mystery of his will. Because the Jews didn't get that. They didn't understand that. And they to this day still kind of have a veil. You know, they don't see everything clearly and they don't understand it. And they're still in bondage under the law. But he's given us his Holy Spirit, given us the ability to believe and to understand and let that be known to us. But that's his plan. And the inheritance, I mean, that goes along with it. The inheritance is what is to come. But it talks about, huh?
Eternal life.
Right. But it also talks about us being adopted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't supposed to, or the Gentiles were not part of that plan, right? It was the Jews first, and then, you know, I'm sure that God all along, he didn't just change his mind one day. I don't think he was just going, yeah, you know what, these guys aren't listening, I'm going to go ahead and include Gentiles too. I'm sure that he had that planned all along, but the point is he adopted us, so to speak, because, you know, the promise he made was not to us, it was to the Jews. And that adoption, it says he, in his love, he predestined us to be adopted according with his pleasure and his will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So all of that is through Jesus Christ. And we're adopted. I mean, we're part of the family now. You know, we're sons of God and daughters of God. But I like what Steve said one time. He said, hey, if I can be a bride of Christ, you can be a son of God. He's talking to the ladies. But it's kind of a three-phase thing. Our adoption into the family of God is kind of a three-phase thing. It's the predestination that it talks about in Ephesians 1 here. It's also the present inclusion into the family of God that we have, you know, presently, now, that it talks about in Galatians, and it's the coming resurrection. And the coming resurrection is kind of like the final phase of it. And so we got the predestination, the inclusion into the family, and the resurrection. And the resurrection is kind of like the family reunion. You know, it's when we're all coming together.
I also like that it says, with his pleasure and will, because apparently we are his pleasure.
Yeah. Which is pretty incredible in itself.
Yeah.
Look how Romans says it. Let's look at Romans 5. Romans 5, 1. Romans 5, 1, 1 through 5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So through Jesus Christ we have peace with God, and through our faith in Jesus, and we have hope. And let's go back to the Galatians.
Back to Galatians.
Back to Galatians 4. Back to Galatians 4, 6 and 7, where it says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. This NIV version says that the Spirit calls out Abba Father. The King James Version, the American Standard, some of the other versions say cries out. It says our Spirit cries out Abba Father. And it's the same phrase that is used when it talks about Jesus crying out. Footnote here. I like what this footnote says. It says, the Greek phrase is a vivid verb expressing deep emotion, often used in an inarticulate cry. In Matthew 27:50, it is used as Jesus' final cry, Abba Father. It's an expressive of an especially close relationship to God. I've heard people say Abba means daddy. It just basically means father. I mean, it's the Greek word for father. And so when he says Abba, father, he's just saying father, father. I'm not sure why that's done in two different ways, but if you're not going to go to someone, you're not going to reach out and say father, father, unless it's like emotional, right? I mean, it's more like father, father. You know, I could see a kid running up to their dad or something and saying, dad, dad. You know, they don't go up and say, dad, dad, can you hand me that? I mean, it's always something they're excited about, right? It's like, dad, dad. You know, they're excited about it. They want to see dad. They've got something they want to share, or that's that close connection. It's like a deep emotional connection. It's physical and emotional and spiritual. And you know, I think that when we are in Christ, that's what happens inside of us. It's like the Spirit inside of us gets excited that we can be a child of God, you know? And we just cry out, you know, Father, Father. We're like yearning for Him. We're like longing for Him. You know, I don't know how excited you guys get when I think about what it would be like to actually be able to stand in the presence of God, but It blows me away. Just the thought of it, just the idea of it, you know. I've got all these visions and all these pictures and all these images and all these things in my head from just reading scripture and learning and things for years, and I'm just like, what would heaven really look like? What is that holy temple really going to look like, you know? I mean, when it talks about the New Jerusalem being suspended in above the earth like a cube that is basically 1,200 miles long, 1,200 miles wide, 1,200 miles high, I mean, can you imagine what that would be like visually? That would just blow you away, you know? Just to see it, and it's going to be like incredible and amazing, and the streets of gold, the
yeah.
you know, just the sea of glass, the all of the different jewels and precious stones and everything that's going to be foundation. I mean, it's not going to be a handful of precious stones, you know. It's going to be foundations
yeah.
built. Out of these amazing, beautiful stones that we think, you know, we think they're so cool and precious that we go out and spend big money for a little tiny one to stick on our fingers or something, you know. But this is going to be built out of this. This is like nothing to God. I mean, it's just, it's incredible, and He's preparing that for us because He loves so much. He loves us so much, and He's preparing that, and that's coming. And the new earth, what it's going to be like. I think about that and I'm like, I picture the new earth being very natural, very beautiful, very wonderful, but without all of the stuff that man has done to it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't think we're driving cars then. I could be wrong, but I don't think we're driving cars. I don't think we need streets and all that stuff.
Like, I don't know. I just see us like...
What do you think? What do you guys think? I mean, when you picture, you ever pictured what it'd be like?
For me, it's just all an idea that, you know, I read about and I know about, but it's hard to make that connection that it's real and it's going to happen. I'm going to see it
yeah.
someday.
Exactly.
There's like a disconnect for me there.
Yeah.
Because it's so incredible.
Absolutely.
It's so Absolutely. Incredible. It's so amazing. You ever thought about it? Like what it would really be like to yeah. No? It gets me excited when I think about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's that same excitement that, you know, like it's talking about our spirit crying out, Father, Father, you know, it's that excitement. It's that, I look forward to that time. I look forward to that day. And I love, there's so many things on this earth right now that I love. I truly, truly love. I love people. I love my granddaughters. I love my children. But hopefully they'll all be there too, right? They'll all be there too. But it excites me. It excites me when I think about it. You know, when it talks about the tree of life lining the streets, right? Remember when it says that, and when you're looking at Revelation, it talks about that, and it'll have a different, it'll bear a different fruit each season.
Doesn't so I'm like, it like bear like? I don't know, several different fruits?
It talks about bearing fruit, but it has a different fruit each season. So, like, it'll have a season of one fruit and a season of another fruit. And, you know, I'm like, what? You know, just something that I would love to see that, you know. And I don't know what that's going to be like for real. I don't know if we're going to walk around. I don't know if we're going to have new bodies that we can, you know, beam me up, Scotty. I don't know how it's going to be exactly, but, you know, just the idea that it's going to be the way that God made it, you know. I've thought about, like, the Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden like? They didn't have to work the soil. They didn't have to toil it. They didn't have to do anything that was stressful. Basically, they were just living life and enjoying life and... God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day, it said, and, you know, God Himself would come down and walk with them and talk with them and basically be their Father. And I'm like...
Well, I believe He's going to do that in the new earth, too. Whether we'll get to see God or not, but we'll be walking with Jesus, who is also God, you know? So.
Well, I think Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne
yes.
in the temple. And
that's true.
And I suppose if He wants to come down and walk on the earth, of course He'll do what He wants to do. But
Ellie was telling me, and you, I think maybe Andrew, or Wade, I don't know. Somebody was talking about it took 6 days for God to make the earth, and we know how incredible this is.
Yeah.
Look at all the time he spent on heaven.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to imagine. It's like, it's mind-blowing. And that a God who has done all of that, who has created everything that we're aware of, everything that we know that he's created, that's how big of a God he is. And for him to choose us, to choose us to be his child. We read this stuff all the time and we go, oh, I'm a child of God. But man, it's not like I'm a child of God. It's like I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm a child of God.
Like
when we stand up there and we sing and we're doing the worship and stuff over here and we're singing that I am a child of God, it's just like things burst inside of me. It's just like I'm a child of God. And it's just incredible. And I don't have all that stuff on notes. It's just that, you know, it just gets me that excited. I know how much I love my kids. I know how much I love my granddaughters. I know the time and the energy and the sacrifices that we make for our kids. And I'm just a dude. And I love them so much. I would give up anything for them. I would give them everything and anything I have. I would give them my life. I would do anything for them. And if I can love them that much, how much does God love us?
Exactly.
How much does God love us? To choose us, to prepare us, to send his son to redeem us, to give us his Holy Spirit so that each day we can walk through each day and try to get closer and closer and closer in relationship with him, because he loves us and wants a relationship with us. That's incredible. That makes me cry out, Abba Father.
You know how in the rapture we're going to just automatically be taken up? Well, I think in the new heaven and new earth, we just think, oh, I want to go over there. So we're just going to be there.
Is that what you think?
Yeah. I don't think we're going to have to walk and sweat and toil and all that then. I think that it's going to be like Jesus, you know. He shows up wherever he wants to show up, whenever he wants to show up. You know, and I think that with our heavenly bodies, we're going to be able to do the same.
That's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it says that we will be like
him. And I don't mean like bewitched or anything like that. I mean just...
Bewitched.
I don't know. It's just that our heavenly bodies are going to be doing a lot more than what we ever thought.
We were talking last week about transformation and the transfiguration and the whole metamorphosis thing and how we are being changed. And so, you know, when you say that, that's a possibility, because we are being changed to be like Christ. And it's a process, it's a slow process, but I've got a feeling that when you're talking about us being raptured, when that takes place, it's going to change fast. Because we're going to leave this phase, this state of our life, and we're going to enter into that state, and it's going to be totally different. So, yeah, it's possible.
It's going to be amazing. And as we were talking about this, I was thinking about Moses and Elijah. Or is it going to be Moses and Enoch? Anyhow, whoever the second one is, what is going to be their jobs in the new heaven and earth? Are they going to be with Jesus somewhere on the throne, just like the disciples and stuff, or what?
I have no idea.
You're asking things that I have no idea of where, how to answer that.
Because aren't the disciples going to be with Jesus up there?
When it talks about the 24 elders around the throne, most people believe that those were
the 12 disciples.
The 12 disciples and the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
And that's what I think the most believed theory is, that that's who the 24 elders are. But there's no way for us to know that for sure until we get there.
Right.
And I don't know about all these biblical characters that, you know, they've got a specific job, or if we can just, you know, go knock on a door and say, hey, Noah, come here. Tell me about this again. You know, what was that like? What was that like when you were building that boat? I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like. I'd love to be able to, you know, when you think about how much time.
I can't wait to talk to Rahab. That's who I want to talk to. I realized she was a harlot in her life, but she changed her ways, and I don't know. I just feel a connection there.
I think that it's possible we could spend eternity just living life, praising and worshiping God, being in peace with each other, and be able to talk to all those folks. Who knows? I don't have any more on this. Like I said, this one was a short one. And we have a small class today, and you ladies are both very quiet, and so we don't have a lot of...
Have you thought about who you would like to see and talk to? No?
No, not really.
Oh, the reason why I do is because in Via de Cristo one time, at one of our meetings... No, it was in Kairos, doing the prison ministry at one of our meetings. The leader asked all of us, you know, think about all the people that are in heaven or that you're going to meet again. And who is the one person, biblically, that you would like to sit with and chat with? And I, you know, thought about it and I thought about it and I thought about some of the stories in there. And mine were Rahab and Ruth.
Job comes to mind right now.
Who?
Job?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How?
I know, he was just down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And Jonah, what was it like to be in the belly of the fish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who would you like to talk with?
Jesus.
Well, duh, that's a gimme, you know. That's a no-brainer.
You don't ask me.
I mean, who else? That's not Jesus.
Because
we all want to talk to Jesus.
There's tons, all of them. I mean, you know, Noah, I think, would be very interesting to talk to. I think, you know, here he was building this huge, giant ship. In a place that didn't get water.
Right.
In a place that didn't get water and had never before...
And the people were going rampant on...
Yeah, had never before got enough water to lift something that size. And it's not like he was going to pull it on a boat trailer and take it down to the sea. I mean, this thing was just... He was building this huge boat. And you got to figure that everybody that was around there is like, this guy's nuts. But he took years to build this thing. And it's like, how much dedication does that take to continue to work on that and still have that faith that it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and keep that faith that strong for years to step out that far outside of your comfort zone and be an outcast.
Did his sons help him too?
Yeah. I mean, there were other people that helped him. He didn't just do it himself. But, you know, the point is how much faith does that take?
I know.
That's incredible.
It took him a long, years and years and years.
Yeah.
I want to say over 100 years.
I don't think so, but it was a long time.
I think it was over 100 years.
You think it was?
You can look it up if you want to.
I say we're going to pray.
Okay.
And close. And
okay.
If you want to continue to chat, that's fine. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that you give us. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be sons and daughters, Lord, to be in your family, to be part of your family, to be adopted in. Lord, we give birth to children and love them so tremendously, but to adopt someone is to even go outside of that. You have to love even more. You want, it's a desire, it's a choice, and you want to do it, and you choose to do it, and that's amazing and incredible. And Lord, I know that for you to pull us into your family and give us that same opportunity is the promise that you gave to Abraham. That promise, Lord, that you've held on to for thousands of years, and here we are today, that we can be sons and daughters of you, Lord, to be in your family. And what a blessing that is. And the fact that you chose us before the creation of the world, that you called us into Christ and give us that right to be a co-heir, that all the things that you have prepared for your only one and only begotten Son, all the things that you've prepared that we are going to be treated similar, we're going to be loved that much, we're going to be given a share in that inheritance, in that kingdom that you are building, Lord, that you have just incredibly put together. It's overwhelming and it's wonderful. And we just thank you so much that you love us enough, Lord, that you would call us. And Lord, we know that there are people out there that don't know you. And we know that there are people that still need to hear. They still need to hear your word. They still need to hear the gospel. They still need to hear what they can have, Lord, what is offered and what the possibilities are. And so help us to get out there and help us to open our mouths and get off our hind end sometime, Lord, and just make that effort to let people know how much you love them. We just thank you and we praise you, Lord. We offer this and we offer ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.